Hello, hello. Welcome to What to Read Wednesdays, your go-to podcast for staff picks from your friends at Delaware County District Library. Here, we'll talk about books, podcasts, and other relevant media. I'm your host, Annie Pasma. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining me. First of all, exciting news. We have our plans for reopening. If you are on our emailing list or follow us on social media, you should have received the news that we are reopening for browsing on February 22nd at the Main Branch, March 1st for Powell and Orange, and March 2nd for Ostrander. So the computers are going to be available when they open. However, the computer lab for the Main Branch will be closed due to construction that we had all planned before we decided when we were going to reopen. So the Express computers are still going to be available. So if you need to print something off real quickly, you can run in and do that. And just remember, printing under 25 pages is still free. Our curbside service is still available at all of our branches, which all of our branches will be operating at limited capacity. And just remember that at all DCDL locations, we are requiring masks for patrons 2 years of age and older. Please bring in your children. I miss seeing everybody. I miss seeing the kids. I miss playing and talking and chatting with them. I'll make a confession. I love talking to kids. They're my favorite. They are. Anyway, I got off script. Getting back to my script. So that's all that we have for the housekeeping items, I do believe. So let's get down to business. Our first recommendation comes from CJ at the Main Branch, and she is recommending Olive Again by Elizabeth Strout. So CJ started listening to Olive Again while driving to Wisconsin several weeks ago to help care for her 101-year-old mother and listen to the last few chapters while driving home. The stories Elizabeth Strout tells in this book turned out to be a particularly good preparation for spending time with her mother, who was nearing the end of her life. Although the locations, characters, and circumstances differ greatly from those of CJ's mother, these stories also provided a poignant lens through which to look at the arc of her mother's life. CJ read the novel Olive Kittredge several years ago and enjoyed spending more time with Olive and her relatives and neighbors in Olive Again. The structure of these books is similar in that each chapter is a short story. Some of the chapters are specifically centered on Olive and her thoughts and experiences. Other chapters tell the story of other characters whose lives interact with Olive's life in some way. Some stories tell varying viewpoints of the intersecting stories and help the reader develop a multidimensional view of Olive and her place in the society of her small town in Maine. Olive is not an easy or comfortable person to get to know. She is prickly, self-centered, socially awkward, and often speaks her mind without filtering her thoughts. Sometimes she says the absolutely wrong thing, but sometimes the absolutely wrong thing turns out to be the absolutely right thing. She is depicted as a person with flaws, interacting with other people with flaws in an imperfect and often unkind world, which makes her very, very real and very human. As Olive ages, she struggles with her diminishment, but also reflects on more realistically about herself and her relationship with others. As CJ listened to the final chapters of Olive Again, she came to understand Olive better and to care for her very much. I have heard of this book and the author, but I have to confess I've never read anything by her. I get in the mood sometimes to read stories of realistic characters in modern settings, so I'll definitely pick up this one when the mood strikes. Next, we're going to hear from Mark, who is going to review a book by one of my all-time favorite authors, Wendell Berry.
Hello, my name is Mark Stevens, and I work circulation at the Powell Branch. The book I'd like to recommend to you today is entitled Jaber Crow, and that is spelled J-A-Y-B-E-R, Crow. And the author is Wendell Berry, and I would recommend this book for adult readers who prefer literary fiction. If you are like me, you like reading more than one genre. Sometimes I'm in the mood for historical fiction. Sometimes I prefer horror, sci-fi, or fantasy. And sometimes I feel like an atmospheric psychological thriller is just the thing. Sometimes I'm in the mood for a book to shock me, teach me, or energize me for social change. But, you know, sometimes I just want a heartwarming, no-stress book that has believable characters I would love to know and befriend, who are set in a town where all the neighbors watch out for each other and no one needs to lock their doors. It's a town where rocking chairs on front porches are the norm. Yet, my guess is your list of to-be-read books is a mile long, so you really don't feel you can waste your time on books that aren't generally well-written. If you are in the mood to read something that fits the criteria I've just described, then I have a fantastic treat for you. I want to introduce you to a series of books all set in the town of Port William in the hills of Kentucky from roughly 1914 to 1985. These books are written by the award-winning author Wendell Berry. He is a novelist, poet, environmental activist, cultural critic, and farmer. A prolific author, he has written many novels, short stories, poems, and essays. He's still alive today at the age of 86. In Jaber Crow, you will see much evidence of his poetic skill because his writing is so lyrical, and his description of nature as he has Jaber travel to Port William is almost Thoreau-like. In fact, now is the time to issue my warning. If you try this book, you may be put off by the book's slow pace at the beginning, because I feel sometimes he does spend too much time just in the first part of the book in describing Jaber's surroundings. But please, please, please stick with it. Once Jaber decides seminary school is not for him and he arrives at the town and begins to interact with the characters as the town barber, you will be richly rewarded and engaged. Jaber is a man of faith who is always searching for answers, and he feels observing others and nature will answer many of his questions. There is no way this book will be described as action-packed. It is overwhelmingly character-driven, and you will meet simply wonderful characters with beautiful personalities you will never forget. You will wish these people could be your relatives and that you could journey to Port William to visit with these characters. And you almost can, because fortunately, Mr. Berry has written several other books in this series where future books focus on other individual characters. Jaber Crow, which I totally love, is not even my favorite book. Hannah Coulter is. But you should read Jaber Crow first, since it is the first book in the series. I do want to mention, though, that these people aren't saints and that this is not escapist fiction. These characters will struggle with poverty, morality, betrayal, and loyalty. They will experience the joys of romance and family love and the sorrow of death. In summary, these are just ordinary people experiencing life. The joy and outstanding quality of these books rest in Mr. Berry's writing. I was introduced to this book when my book group read it. The avid reader who chose it described Wendell Berry as his favorite author. Once I read Jaber Crow, I was hooked and had to read every book in the series, as did my mom and aunt, both critical, overloaded readers. I also should mention that the Northwest branch of the Worthington Library, located on Hard Road, had this book as their book group selection for October 2019. Am I trying to sell you on this book and series? Wholeheartedly, yes. I've read countless books, and I always consider this series as one of my most special. Mr. Barry is a great spinner of stories, sort of in the vein of Mark Twain and Maeve Binchy, and he will connect you to the universal condition of humanity and to the need to respect and cultivate the earth. For the patient reader, I think you will be happy you gave this book and the world of Port William a try. It is 384 pages, and it is available on Libby.
Although I loved Jaber Crow, it was my first Wendell Berry novel. I've read some of his essays in college. My very favorite Wendell Berry novel is Hannah Coulter, which I have reviewed previously on this podcast, so I won't get into it. But if you've never read anything by Wendell Berry, please do. You will not regret it. Okay, so also from Powell is Hillary, and we're going to hear directly from Hillary about her recommendations for some paranormal romance and a middle grade novel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hillary from the Powell branch, and I'm here to share some romance and middle grade books with you today. The first book I'm recommending is Wolf Gone Wild by Juliet Cross, and it is a paranormal romance book. Now, I'm well aware that paranormal romance isn't for everyone, but I haven't recommended one of these yet, and I'm positive someone else will enjoy it as much as I did. Mateo Cruz is a werewolf who has been unable to shift for 3 months, which has had untold consequences to his sanity. Without being able to shift to his wolf form, his wolf has taken up residence in his head. Loudly. He never shuts up and wants to either beat everyone up over small stuff or have sex with every woman he passes. Convinced he's cursed, he seeks out a powerful witch to break his hex before he goes insane. Evie Savoy has always obeyed the rules of her coven. No werewolves. They're known for being moody and volatile. So when a distempered, dangerous werewolf strolls into the bar and almost strangles one of her late-night customers, she's ready to bounce him right through that door. But the desperation in his eyes when he begs her to help him softens her heart and convinces her to bend the rules. This is the first book in the Stay a Spell series, so if you like it, you're in luck. I definitely laughed quite a bit, and I enjoyed the steamier scenes. While the plot might have been predictable, I just let myself enjoy the flow of the story. I've already read book 2 in the series, Don't Hex and Drive, and it was just as enjoyable as the first book. I can't wait to read about the rest of the Savoy sisters and how they find love. The next recommendation is An Extraordinary Union by Alyssa Cole. Okay, so the premise of this book is freed slaves go undercover in the South as spies for the Union, which is a very heavy premise for a romance series, but it's handled very honestly and sincerely. Ellie Burns is a former slave with a passion for justice and an eidetic memory. Training in her life of freedom in Massachusetts, she returns to the indignity of slavery in the South to spy for the Union Army. Malcolm McCall is a detective for Pinkerton's Secret Service. Subterfuge is his calling, but he's facing his deadliest mission yet, risking his life to infiltrate a rebel enclave in Virginia. Two undercover agents who share a common cause and an undeniable attraction, Malcolm and Ellie join forces when they discover a plot that could turn the tide of the war in the Confederacy's favor. Caught in a tightening web of wartime intrigue and fighting a fiery and forbidden love, Malcolm and Ellie must make their boldest move to preserve the Union at any cost. This book was intense. I don't think that there was a moment where I wasn't concerned for the safety of the main characters. But it was also incredible. It's a historical romance set in the Civil War era, and it doesn't shy away from the atrocities that were committed by the South. It does a good job at looking at the savior complex, and I really believed the emotion and connection between Ellie and Malcolm. It's a great read, and I highly recommend it. Okay, for my last recommendation, I'm going to switch gears in a big way and recommend a middle grade book. My next recommendation is The Hero's Guide to Saving Your Kingdom by Christopher Healy. Prince Liam, Prince Frederick, Prince Duncan, Prince Gustav, you've never heard of them, have you? These are the princes who saved Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, Snow White, and Rapunzel. And yet, thanks to those lousy bards who wrote the tales, you only know them as Prince Charming. But all of that is about to change. Rejected by their princesses and cast out of their castles, the princes stumble upon an evil plot that could endanger each of their kingdoms. Now it's up to them to triumph over their various shortcomings, take on trolls, bandits, dragons, witches, and other assorted terrors to become the heroes no one ever thought they could be. This is a super fun adventure book that takes the fairy tales you know and twists them into something new and different. I literally laughed out loud a few times while reading this book. If your child enjoys adventure stories, twisted fairy tales, and funny books, you definitely need to check out The Hero's Guide to Saving Your Kingdom. Okay, everyone, that's all of my recommendations for today. I hope you find some great books and happy reading.
Thank you so much for those recommendations, Hillary. I appreciate hearing what Hillary is reading because they're usually genres I don't read very often. Okay, so on to what I'm reading. I am currently reading a graphic novel that was nominated for an Alex Award. Now, the Alex Awards are given to 10 books written for adults that have a special appeal to young adults ages 12 through 18. So people often think graphic novels are just comic books, air quotes, comic books, and do not have much value in terms of storytelling or good writing. I, all of my colleagues, and most librarians will tell you this is not true. And if you are having a hard time believing me, pick up the book Tinnaman 1989. It is based on the true story of a young man who was there in Tinnaman Square during the student uprising. So far, the writing is very good and the illustrations are fantastic. So, again, if you don't believe me, pick up this book. What I'm listening to. So, first of all, I have to say I finished Amazing Grace by Eric Metaxas, which was the book about William Wilberforce, and I talked about it with Mandy on the last episode. You guys, it was so good. It was narrated by Johnny Heller, and at first I thought that was an odd choice, but, you know, once you get into it, it's like, of course, Johnny Heller would narrate this one. But I have a newfound love and respect for William Wilberforce. He was just really, really awesome. Just such an awesome politician, man who just stood up for injustice, like just the horrible injustices of his time. So really, really awesome. If you don't have time to read a book about William Wilberforce, look him up on Wikipedia or something, because you need to know who he is and what he did. Anyway, okay. At the very beginning of every episode, the introduction says we talk about books, podcasts, and other relevant media. So far, I really only talked about books and Korean dramas. So today, I am going to talk about some podcasts. Or one podcast in particular. While I'm not usually one for podcasts because I'm usually listening to an audiobook, I have found one that I am particularly enjoying, and it is called The VO Boss. Now, VO stands for voiceover, which is what I do as a side hustle. I really enjoy this kind of work, and I love having a hobby that stretches my knowledge. I'm always learning something. I always have to be learning something if I'm going to do well in that kind of business. So it made me think, like, you I would definitely encourage you to find something you are passionate about in 2021 and pursue it. And I can almost guarantee you that there will be a podcast about it. And if there isn't, start one. Contact me for more info. I will get you started. All right. What I'm looking forward to, and I just got the notification that it is on the hold shelf, is a book called Made in China, A Prisoner, An SOS Letter, and the Hidden Cost of America's Cheap Goods by Amanda Pang. So I should say I'm not actually looking forward to this, but I think it is necessary to be informed about where our clothes and goods come from. Like, listen, guys, I love my comfortable life, but sometimes my conscience is pricked by my consumerist lifestyle. And, you know, I think this book will make me uncomfortable, but in a good way. And hopefully I will be more conscientious about my purchases. So on that heavy note, that's all I've got for today, folks. Hopefully next episode, I will have another guest in for an interview. Let me know how I'm doing at whattoread@delawarelibrary.org. I'm your host, Annie Pasma. Thanks for listening.